All right. Hey everyone, this is Big L, Rock Alliance Magazine, and today we're talking with a gentleman by the name of Kurt Dimer, who the jack of all trades refers to him because he's done a lot in his lifetime, and we'll get right into it. How are you doing today, Kurt?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Hey, no problem. It's our pleasure. Now, I'm talking to you because of your music, which you just dropped a new single, Doom, and along with a video with that, didn't you?
Yeah, we just dropped Doom on August 11th. You know, all over where you stream music, Spotify, Apple, all that, and we're really excited about it. As we did a shot a music video for it as well. And it's also a song that's featured in one of the films I star in that hasn't come out yet called Hellbilly Hollow. It's a franchise that I own. So it's the signature title track from that movie. Plus, it's a new single. It'll be on our debut LP next year. We're putting out a debut album is all we've put out so far as an EP. And, yeah, it'll be featured everywhere. I'm really proud of the song, and I think we just need to get it out to the radio stations, which we're doing, and have people spread the word, and I think it's a new, refreshing song in the rock genre. So.
Yeah, and I've watched the video several times, and can you tell me a little bit behind what the influence was behind that song?
Well, it was, like I said, it was written for my horror franchise Hellbilly Hollow that I star in. I play a character called Bull, and I'm pretty psychotic. So I wanted to write a song that kind of touched on how life can be, you know, full of doom and different aspects, but then I kind of zeroed in on the dark world of addiction and how people can get caught up in addiction, and even, you know, more specifically, a lot of the chorus refers to heroin addiction. Now, I was never a heroin addict or did heroin in my life, but I saw new people in my family and friends that once they got into that dark side, it was pretty much doom for them. It was just hard to get out of that, you know, cycle, if you will.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to subtly touch on that and then let people also apply it to, you know, life in general. And it's kind of all intertwined, and there is that dark side in life here, you know, as we're here on Earth, and that's really what influenced me to write the song, is just kind of the subtleties of darkness of life.
And the video definitely shows that. I thought it was very well put together, and it was very entertaining, but it also, it had a story to it, so.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to be able to touch on it without being, you know, so invasive and, like, showing, you know, actuality of that stuff because it's so sad as it is. I just wanted to give you the idea of what you know, you can overcome this kind of stuff. You can power through this. Rock can be a healing mechanism, and just kind of give the shadows of it, if you will, instead of the meat and potatoes of that nasty addiction.
Yeah, you say rock is a genre. I've been a metalhead all my life. I'm a few years older than you are, but you got started in this. Well, I don't want to get started because if I remember reading right, you had a band in college or back in the day.
Yeah, I did music till I was about 20. You know. Just played arrived, went to the University of Cincinnati. I was pretty much going nowhere fast there, just kind of partying as I did the first 4 years of college. And then had a band and ended up needing to get my act together and met my kid's mom. I have three beautiful sons and got married young and decided to finish college, which I did. And then got into kind of the corporate world to learn where I wanted to go in life, and I wasn't sure, but I just suppressed my creative side as far as music or any kind of writing or whatnot, because I was an English literature major, and just decided to figure out how I could build something to care of my family, and quickly decided the corporate world wasn't for me, and I wasn't going to work my whole life pigeonholed in that institution, if you will. And just learned all I could, and ended up getting a master's degree in marketing and management, paid for by one of the corporations I worked for, Chevron. And once I had learned everything in all facets of the oil business, of all things, being an English literature major, I decided I'm going to start my own company, and I figured out how to raise money by buying and selling rental properties from those Carlton Sheets courses that were on infomercials late at night. You probably remember those.
I actually purchased that. I didn't follow through with it, but I did get it. Yeah.
Well, you and me both, man. So I bought that. I studied it. I figured out how to raise about $40,000 and buying and selling real estate and renting them out and whatnot and fixing them up, and put that into a checking account because nobody believed I could start an oil company. And 1999, I took the chance with my two little boys and told the wife at the time, you know, their mom, you know, I can sell cars and make as much as I'm making now, I'd be suppressed, so I'm going to do my own thing and see where it goes. And here I am, what, 2023, and those companies run themselves, and I found a window of opportunity to get back in the entertainment, or a sign, if you will. I really wasn't even looking. In 2017, I went down to do a cameo with my oil brand, Starfire, a movie called Trading Paint, starring John Travolta, Shania Twain, and Toby Sebastian from Game of Thrones, and a few others from Game of Thrones. And they asked me to be in the movie when I was down there. It was weird. They were taking pictures of me and said, we'd like to give you a speaking role instead of just this cameo for Starfire. And about 2 hours later, I'm working out a scene with John Travolta, talking to Shania Twain, and lights are all on me, and I'm in the movie at the end, the track announcer, and that was my sign, and that kind of started it all back up again for me.
That had to be a surreal feeling, just because you got John Travolta and Shania Twain, but I also, there were some character jackies in there that some of my favorite, like Michael Madsen and Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. Met Michael Madsen that night, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that had to be a surreal feeling.
Oh, it was crazy, man. I was like, pinch me. What the hell just happened to me? And now I'm a member. I had to sign up for SAG. I'm an actor now. And I got paid. And then a couple months later, I got cast in Halloween, the 2018, at the first of the last three. And I'm in the movie with Jamie Lee Curtis and the original franchise, and I'm getting one of the few people that have been killed by the real Michael Myers in that franchise, and it just kept going. Then I had the acting bug, so I started filming some stuff down in Alabama with some folks that I was working with on some music videos and stuff back when I was going under the name Bald Man, and I then met a gentleman by the name of Ben Trexel out of Birmingham, Alabama, who had these three songs that were pretty rockin' tunes. One of them's going to come out on the debut album next year called Southbound. And I sang these three songs. I hadn't sung since I was 20 years old. So this is like end of 18, coming right into 2019. And, you know, it had my sound to it. I'm way better than I was at 19, just not singing all those years, because I've been training since then. But that's how it all started, man. That's how I got, and then we just started writing music together, and put a demo under the name Bald Man together. Had David Bendith mix it for us best he could with what we had done, and then ended up taking it to LA end of 19, beginning of 2020, right before COVID hit. And right as COVID hit, my assistant, or my manager, if you will, at the time, let's see if we can get Chris Lord-Alge or somebody around here to take a look at this demo. And I wanted Chris Lord-Alge, you know, he's an icon, and ended up, he took the demo and did the best he could with it, and we became friends, and we had this little song by Pink Floyd called Have a Cigar, that I didn't want to do or didn't really care for doing the way it was. The way Ben and I had laid it out, he said, let me show you how we can make your voice sound with this. And so he demoed that out for us, and that's the first song we did under Kurt Dimer. And then I found out, I said, who played that wicked-ass guitar solo on there? And he proceeds to tell me it's Phil X, who took Richie's spot in Bon Jovi, and Brian Tischy's on the drums, and we just, I just thought it turned out so great. Then we shot that video, and then Phil and I started writing together. He played with me the last couple years, and we started writing all these tunes. So it's just been a whirlwind, man, but I'm blessed and so glad that I was fortunate enough in life to go back and revisit what I had to suppress at 20 and let all this creativity out of my brain. It's been really good therapy.
I was going to say, and yeah, you say, you know, it's been, you know, you're, like you had to pinch yourself or whatever with the movie thing. You've also, the musical side of things, you've worked with a lot of, I know your manager, if I'm not mistaken, Brian Weed of Tesla, is that correct?
Yeah, we did some shows with Tesla last year in September, and Brian had come up to me. I think we were out in Midland, Texas, and doing a show with them as a direct support. And I was just sitting out in my little chair, just having a smoke and just waiting for the show that night. And Brian didn't talk to just anybody. And he came up to me and said, man, Kurt, I listened to some of your set last night. I really like your guys' vibe, your style. It reminds me of my side project, Soul Motor. And he shared some of the Soul Motor tunes, and we just hit it off and kept staying in touch. And my, you know, I already had management. I was at the time when an ambulance going by in L.A.
Oh.
you might hear a bunch of those. But anyways, so yeah, you know, we just kept in touch after September. And I was a little disgruntled with my management before that, and I just felt like I was getting stagnant. Nothing was really happening. No offense to anybody at all. I mean, things just change in life, and people have different visions. And once I cleared all that up, I reached out to Brian, and he had thought about it and said, yeah, I'd love to help you fight the battle of becoming, you know, a big-name rock band in the industry, because it's not easy to do it. You know, Tesla started in their garage as teenagers, so if anybody knows how to do it, you know, Brian Weed does, is one of the original founding members of Tesla, so
yeah.
Very blessed to have him and Jimmy Dean, who manages Tesla with Brian as my manager, so I'm very blessed.
Yeah, I actually, they played in Lima that last month, I think it was, and I went down and covered them, and I was in total shock of how good they sounded so many years later. They just absolutely brought it.
Oh, they bring it every night. I mean, Jeff's voice is one of a kind. And, you know, Frank is amazing. Dave's amazing. Steve is such a funny guy on the drums and so good. Brian is, you know, kind of the guy who keeps the business side going and just slams that bass every night and does what he has to do. So, yeah, they're a great group of guys. And
yeah,
hopefully got some more shows in the future that we'll do with them. You know, we'll see how all that goes. But it's just a matter of when we get to start headlining, and then I can really turn it up another notch and do these crazy stage shows for everybody, which I can't wait because I'm kind of limited now. So.
Sure.
Direct supporter and opening act, but yeah. We're building fans everywhere we go.
Yeah, I was just saying, are you currently, or are you going to be with Skid Row and Buck Terry? Is that correct?
Yeah, we're doing the Gangs All Here run with them in September. It'll be us, Buck Terry, and Skid Row, and that'll take us through the whole month of September, and we'll be up in that area where you are as well. I think we're at the Hard Rock Casino or somewhere in Ohio. We're in Huber Heights. So we'll be in several Illinois cities as well. And then and we're going to have about a one-week break, and then we're going to head out with Mushroom Head all the month of October, which, you know, kind of correlates well with the horror genre that I'm in, and the couple movies that, you know, I've got another movie I just shot in March called Scared to Death, where I star alongside Lynn Shay from Insidious and Bill Moseley from the Rob Zombie movies, Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses and whatnot. So it's, we felt that would be a great fit, and we played with Mushroom Head last year at their Halloween show, so we'll be doing a run with them all October. So, yeah, we're really stoked about these the next 2 months coming up and building more and more fans, and then hopefully after the first of the year, we'll get our debut LP out and start doing some smaller 300-500 cap headline shows in January, February, and then probably go on a big tour with the big name act starting in the spring.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the Buck Cherry, or the, excuse me, the Mushroom Head one, but you play in the King of Clubs in Columbus, yeah, but I'll be in Branson, Missouri. Unfortunately, my wife wants to go on vacation, so you know.
Oh, you're gone the whole week.
Yeah, I'm gone that whole week.
Yeah, because I think we're doing Bogart's in Cincinnati, and then we go right to King of Clubs, and then we go right up to the Agora Theater. Is it called?
Yeah, for the Halloween show.
Yeah. Three nights in a row in Ohio, and you're going to be gone.
As soon as I thought, one of my buddies, who's a business partner, some of this. He's going to be at the, he's friends with Mushroom Head, so he's going to be at the Halloween show, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, make sure he stops by and says hi, man.
I will do that. I will do that. I know you said you started out when you were young. Who were some of your influences when you were a youth?
Oh, everybody asked me this, and I like to, I can never remember his name, but I saw Iron Maiden before Bruce. So I was in Houston, like in the late 70s, early 80s. My dad moved a lot because he worked in the oil business. That's kind of where I got my roots, is wanting to learn that. So we ended up in Houston for 6 years over my middle school and first 2 years of high school. So I would go to concerts, they'd come to Houston all the time, to the Summit, the Coliseum, all that stuff. So Iron Maiden, UFO, Van Halen, saw Ozzy and Randy right before Randy passed, Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio, Styx. I mean, my first concert with Jackson Brown with David Lindley, and then I saw Charlie Daniels. I mean, all those bands, I would just go Rush. I'd go to those big arena shows at least two or three a month, and I would just think to myself, man, I wish I could be up there and make these people happy like these guys are. And it was just such good rock and roll. But I never thought I could do it, because I thought I'd get up on stage and, you know, just shoot a brick and be nervous as hell. Because I was pretty anxious young guy. Even when I was in my band, I would get anxious, and I figured out what caused all that and changed my life, but that's a whole other story for the book. But it worked out well, because I gave myself time to mature. I gave myself time to figure out life. I didn't rush it. I knew if I got on the music thing at 20, I would go nowhere fast, probably be dead within 10 years. I was not in my right state of mind then, and just, you know, let it go. And it's like, if you just let something go and it comes back to you, it was meant to be, and it came back to me, like I said, in 2017, and here we are talking.
Yep, and my
life. Don't forget AC/DC too. I'd be remiss if I didn't say AC/DC influenced me, because Bon Scott showed me that I can have a voice unique and not like everybody else and kick ass. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, absolutely. And those are all bands, like I said, I'm a few years older than you, and those are all bands that I listened to too when I was younger, and riding around. And my first concert was Journey, and then my second one was Kiss and Cheap Trick. So
and I bet when you saw Journey, Billy Squier opened.
He was actually supposed to, but he was sick, so they had to get somebody else.
Yeah, and when you saw Foreigner, Billy Squier opened, or Loverboy.
Yep, Loverboy or Foreigner together.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I even saw Queen with Freddie Mercury on that the Bodies or whatever that album was, that Body Bot, you know.
Yeah.
That tour I saw. So I was lucky enough to see Freddie Mercury down in Houston, which was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm from a smaller community, so I didn't have easy access, but I figured out ways to get to shows and different things like that.
Yeah.
And let's see. When did you realize? Like I said, you said that. But after you got, you did the 20s and you moved on. When did you realize, hey, I want to go back. I want to do this, or was it something that you thought all along that, yeah, I'm gonna come back and do this, but I'm gonna go do this first?
Well, really, the light switch really came on. I had no plans on forming a rock band or being in movies until that happened in 2017. I was so immersed in my companies because I had Starfire, my oil brand, I had my original company, Coolants Plus. I own a blend plant up in Pennsylvania called Pennstar now, which we produce all our own oil. And then I had a jobbership, which is like a local distributor in Jackson, Tennessee, and I was the sales guy. And then I had this team that I had built over the years of people that supported me. So I was pretty knee-deep in sales, working 12, 15-hour days, building this company from scratch because nobody's handed me anything, and trying to prove everybody when they say you can't do this that I can do it. And once I got into that movie, people are all like, okay, that's trippy. You can't act. You can't be in a movie. I've never had acting lessons. Or you can't form a rock band. There's so many people trying to be in a rock band. So people told me I can't do that. And I'm like, okay, well, I just proved them wrong in the oil business and the business side. I have a business acumen. And I've always wanted to write. I was an English literature major. I've got tales to tell. I've got advice to give. I've fought the battles of life where most people would give up. And I want to be an inspiration for others. And I look at, my music and my acting as a forum to share with people that, hey, I'm not afraid of the world. You don't need to be afraid of the world. Let's all get together and let's just be positive and strong, be kind to each other, treat each other with respect, and just have a great time. And just keep telling me I can't do it, everybody. Keep telling me I suck or whatever you want, and I'm going to prove you wrong. So
that's always a great motivator. My life sort of has mirrored yours a little bit, not to the scale, but I got my degree when I was 40 years old or older. And I started out, I wanted to be a guitar player. I've always been into music, but I knew I wasn't going to be good. So I thought, well, how can I do this? So I got into doing photography, which I am absolutely, that is my passion. And it led to this, and I've been doing this for the last 15 years. And I don't make any much money at this, but I enjoy doing it, and I'm passionate about it, and I really enjoy doing it. And I like being a positive role model to people who say you can't do something. So
exactly. And if you love doing it, that's worth more than an amount of money. Trust me. I mean, money is truly the root of all evil. But it's nice to be able to, be able to do what I'm doing, knowing that my bills are paid every month and I can fight the good fight for people and bring some good, positive influence to the world. And, that I will never say an unkind word to anybody, even if they want to say something unkind to me. Or, not everybody likes the same music, but it doesn't mean if I don't want to listen to your music, I'm going to sit there and tell you that it's a bunch of crap or anything. That's just rude. I mean, just go on and listen to whatever you like to listen to. We all like different toppings on our pizza. I mean, it's not like my friends come over and they want pineapple, and I go, you suck, you're a piece of shit because you want pineapple on your pizza. What happened to kindness, Larry? That's what we're trying to bring back, man. Just be kind to each other. Let's hang out. Let's have fun. Let's party and rock out. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. That's what we did in the 70s anyway. At least that's what I did, and that's
And this is what your niche is. This is what you love to do. It's your niche. It's your passion. I can dabble on the guitar. I started playing the drums. I can play the keyboard. I had piano left, but I knew I was average at that at best. But what could I do to make an impact on the world with a great rock band? Well, nobody has a deep voice, or people have deep voice, but they don't have I can use my unique voice and vocal styling and the way I want to present my message uniquely, just like a great guitar player or somebody else, and just hone in on my talent that God gave me. And that's why I'm the front man. And I'm not afraid to get up there and be a crazy nut job. So.
And speaking of being a positive role model, you had a single, Hero. That video, that showed what kind of, actually showed, you know, I don't know about the rest of the band, but knowing, with discussing what I discussed with you, what type of an individual you are, and you can give out that message, that positive message, in any genre you want to, but you showed it, and you can do it in a rock and roll type of way.
Yeah, you can do it in a rock and roll type of way, and you can thank all these people as well. And we play that almost every time we play, and I dedicate it to the frontline workers during the COVID. I dedicate it to first responders. I don't know why people in the world think we don't need first responders, whether it be EMS, police, firefighters, whoever. And I don't know why people take for granted the fact we live free in this country because of our military and our veterans and all the sacrifices those families have made. It's just common sense. And I wanted to have a forum where I could thank them for that. And it's funny, we took that to the radio, and some of the radio people were like saying, it's just too hokey, it's too SpongeBob-y or whatever. And it's like, okay, you know, I don't agree. It's a great tune. When we play it live, people go nuts. We've even had mosh pits during that song. But it'll be heard. It's just going to take time. As a new artist, it just takes time. And once you get that one song through the system, then everybody will discover all the rest, you know. And you just got to be patient. I don't know if you've heard our song, What You Saying. I wrote that during the pandemic about just all of us and what we were going through, and about how we just need to love each other and be kind to each other and what the hell's going on. So, yeah, I'm glad you noticed that in Hero. And I try to write that and everything. I try to give a message so people go home and be like, okay, I really dig this tune and what Kurt's saying here. So.
Yeah, and you also said something there that I like too. You mentioned the families of the first responders, the people that are in the service, because they don't get enough thanks, in my opinion.
No, they
don't. They have to endure their loved ones being overseas or going through whatever, and they're at home taking care of the family, taking care of this and that, and they sacrifice a lot to give us the freedoms that we do have.
Exactly. It's the families go through the suffering just as much as the individual who goes over there mentally. But then thank God we have heroes like that want to volunteer to be in our armed forces. Otherwise, you know damn well our country wouldn't be free. I mean, that just doesn't happen automatically. And it's just, we can't forget all that. We can't, even first responders, I mean, imagine your husband or wife, you know, working on EMS or flying on life flight helicopters or being a police officer's wife or husband. I mean, you just hope when they come home and they have a family, but they're out there serving and protecting us so we can live free in this country.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. In closing here, is there... How do our listeners go about finding Kurt Diamond?
Well, it's the easiest way is to Google my name, K-U-R-T-D-E-I-M as in Mary, E-R, Kurt Diamond. You can find me at Kurt Diamond on Instagram, X, Facebook. We have the Kurt Diamond Fam Club, F-A-M Club on Facebook. Please join there. We've got KurtDiamond.com, which will take you to tour dates, merch, everything that's going on with Kurt Diamond. We just ramped that up here within the last month. You can find me on IMDb, see the movies I've been in, track me there. And really Google me, you'll see images. You'll see me on the red carpet from Halloween in 2018. You'll see upcoming films that I've got coming out, Hillbilly Hollow and Scared to Death. And my Wikipedia is under my name, so we tried to keep it simple because I'm an actor and I'm a rock musician. But when you see Kurt Dimer, hopefully count on seeing this. I'm trying to build a cohesive band, but you'll see the same guys like you and I did back in the day. And it's been a process. And just know when you see Kurt Dimer, you're going to be entertained and you're going to be given a positive message, and it's someone who cares about you. So that's how you can find me. And, of course, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you stream music, at Kurt Dimer.
And getting your name out there, you're working with one of the best in the business, with Shauna. I always like to quote her. She is she's a sweetheart, and she's hardworking, and she does a good job at what she does.
Yes, she does. And very blessed to have her. And actually, Bronson Wheat and Dean Robbs, the ones who brought us together, and I'm very grateful for that. So, yeah, Shauna's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, Kurt, I appreciate your time, and I wish you nothing but success in the future. And hopefully down the road, you get a big show, and you get to be the headliner, and everything goes the way you want it to.
Well, we're going to get there. It's just not, it's not a matter of if we are. It's a matter of when. So folks like you help us along the path. And Larry, I appreciate you and the good questions, and for having me on the show and supporting, you know, what we're doing as Kurt Dimer. Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for your time.
Oh, always, man. Anytime. Reach out to me if you can make it to a show. You're always welcome.
Well, you know, actually, I did look up Knoxville, because one of my bucket lists is to see a concert in every state in the union. And I haven't been to Tennessee, and it's, as close as that is, that just doesn't make any sense to me. But I did look at the Knoxville one. I know that's a Wednesday night, but that's a possibility.
Yeah, if you can make it, man, let me know. We'll get you on the list, and I look forward to meeting you.
Okay, Kurt, I appreciate your time once again.
All right, Larry, thank you. Have a great day, and thank you to everybody for listening. Appreciate all of you.
You too.
All right, see you, man.
Yeah, bye.